Your friend Taylor's the one that hooked you up on that one. Hey, Broxton, he's the one that told on you, man. All right. Hebrews chapter number 7. If you're there, say amen. All right, that's three of y'all. We're getting there. We're going to start reading in verse 11, Miss Carrie, whenever you get ready. But we'll be in Hebrews chapter number 7. We'll start reading in verse number 11. I would love to read the whole chapter, but y'all get mad. It's all good. But y'all get mad. So we'll just read. No, let's read the whole chapter. I set y'all up for that. I really did. Let's go to verse number 1. All right. All right. Is everybody in verse number 1? Let's go up to verse number 20 of chapter 6. Y'all can see that? Does everybody see that? They got their Bible right there? And we'll read right on through. All right. So we're reading one chapter and one verse this morning. All right. The Bible says, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus. Now, Jesus here is called the forerunner. That means that if he's forerunning, something's running behind him. I need somebody to help me. So him as a forerunner, guess who is running behind him? We are. Exactly. So he's a forerunner, is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of, everybody say it with me. I figured half of you didn't know how to say it, all right? After the order of Melchizedek, all right? Now, verse number 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem. By the way, Salem is in the old time. It's before Jerusalem. It was the city of Jerusalem. So it was Salem was located where Jerusalem is located. But it was located there. This is a reference to it while it was under the Canaanites. Is everybody with me? Did I just confuse anybody? So he was a king of Salem, which was pre-Jerusalem. Bible says, priest of the Most High God. Now he held two offices. He held the office of a king, and he held the office of a priest. And God would not allow that to happen in Israel. There was only one that'll have the office of both the king and the priest. And that's the forerunner, Jesus. Is everybody with me? We'll get back to that. All right, now, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him? This is in Genesis chapter number 14, if you want to read the historical event. Verse number 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Now, Abraham tithed to this king, Melchizedek. This is before the Mosaic law. And all I bring this up for is because many like to say that the tithe is ungodly and this tithe has been done away with, but the tithe existed before the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law, they were commanded. Is everybody with me? Y'all need to see this. The Mosaic law commanded them to give a tenth. But Abraham freely gave a tenth. Man, that's just good stuff. I'll go on. Bible says, first being by interpretation, king of righteousness. That's what his name means. Melchizedek. His name means king of righteousness. Everybody notice that that king is capitalized. Bible goes on, it says, and after that also king of Salem. And what you may not know is Salem means peace, which is king of peace. So, Abraham gave a tithe willingly to the king of righteousness and the king of peace. I'm going to go on. Verse number 3. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. abideth a priest continually. This still talking about Melchizedek. Now this and many other things, I believe Melchizedek was a theophany or a Christophany. All right. Many people don't believe that. Many people believe that he was just a ordinary man, and it may well be. I mean, we're not given a definite, but there's a lot of similarities between him and Jesus. King of righteousness, the King of peace. I could go on without beginning, without end. You could go on and all the things that was described here in the first three verses. We could make an argument that King Melchizedek was Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. In other words, Jesus Christ, a theophany, him showing up before his birth in Bethlehem. Verse number 4 says, "Now consider how great this man was, and unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils." The Bible says, "And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent, Melchizedek, is not counted from them, received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may say so, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham." Now, the writer of Hebrews chapter number 7 is setting us up. We're fixing to get to where I wanted to start reading and build the message around. But the writer is writing, and he gives us, goes back in historical data, and he goes back to Genesis chapter number 14, and he brings a character out called Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek, if you read in chapter number 14 and you have no prior knowledge and you don't know much about it, he seems very insignificant. There's not a whole chapter devoted to King Melchizedek. Matter of fact, the Bible says in chapter number 14 that as Abraham was returning, by the way, he went to get Lot, who was taken by these kings, this coalition of kings. He goes and he takes, he wins that back, which, by the way, Abraham went against several nations and defeated them. So if you're thinking that Abraham was just some dude that owned a couple of cattle, you're very mistaken, all right? Abraham was a bad man. I need somebody to say amen. All right, so Abraham comes back from defeating these armies and defeating these kings, and he is met in a way by this King Melchizedek. And the Bible says that he gave a tenth of all the spoils to this King Melchizedek. We don't know anything about this king. We're not told where he was born. We're not told who his parents were or anything else. We're just told he was a king of Salem. And by his name, we know him as the King of Righteousness. His name, Melchizedek, literally means King of Righteousness. And so by his name and by where he came from, we see he's the King of Righteousness, the King of Peace. And Abraham gives a tithe to him. But Genesis 14 doesn't go a whole lot into detail. And now the writer here in Hebrews, he is writing to his brethren, and he's telling them that there's a high priest. There was a forerunner. That forerunner was Jesus Christ, who has become a high priest. Now, he's having to sell this thing, because if you know anything about Jesus, you know that he came from the tribe of Judah. And according to Mosaic law, only the Levites could be priests. And the high priest had to come out of the family of Aaron. Y'all are doing good. So, by pedigree, Jesus did not fit the mold or did not fit the build to be a high priest. So, the writer in Hebrews is making an argument that he is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, this ain't the only time, the only two places that Melchizedek is mentioned in your Bible. Matter of fact, if you go back in Psalm chapter 110, you'll find that David writes in prophecy about Melchizedek. And he says that his Lord, David's Lord, will sit on the throne and he will rule after the order of Melchizedek. So David, he got a little more in his reading out of Genesis 14 than most. And he said, there's coming a day when the Messiah will come after the order of this character in Genesis chapter number 14, Melchizedek. And he's saying, this man, Melchizedek, was so great that even Abraham paid tithes. And he goes on and he says this, even though the Levites are commanded to take the tithes of the people, the Levites paid tithes through Abraham to Melchizedek. That's why I believe that, is everybody all right? That this was Christ that we're dealing with. He goes on in verse number 10 and it says, for he was yet in the loins of his father, that's the Levi, or Levi, when Melchizedek met him. Verse number 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Now, I've done gone over some of this, so it's going to start to sound familiar. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe of which no man gave attendance at the altar. That means that he comes from the tribe of Judah. In the next verse, we'll see that. But it says that that tribe, Judah, no man from that tribe gave attendance at the altar or ministered as a priest. That's all that verse is saying. The next verse. The next verse says, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Y'all, we're getting somewhere now. I know it may seem slow to you, but we're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere. Everything that's going on this morning is kind of lined up with what's going on in the preaching this morning. And we're getting somewhere. The writer is telling us that there is a new priest. There's a high priest. And this priest, because he is a new priest, and because he is after the order of Melchizedek, the law has to change. I need somebody to, What he's saying here is that the law was not perfect, but what has come is. And therefore the law has to change to line up with what has come. Oh man, I'm liking it. He goes on and he says this. He says, for he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Once again, that goes back to Psalm chapter 110, verse number 4, David writing in prophecy. Bible goes on, it says, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment. Saying that it's doing away with the law. Did y'all catch that? There is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. Now, let me break it down for you. What he's saying is the law was weak and unprofitable. And so by this new high priest, it's been disannulled. I'm getting there. The Bible says, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Now this is in stark contrast, because in the Old Testament, we didn't have access to God. We couldn't draw nigh to God. In the Old Testament, we were kept from God. In the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle, and in the tabernacle there was a veil. And according to the Bible, only the high priest could go in behind the veil once a year at the Day of Atonement, and he had to go back with blood. We didn't have access. They didn't have access. And so for him to say, by the which we draw nigh unto God, something changed. He's trying to help us. He's trying to help us. Verse number 20. And insomuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath. By him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So the writer says, the Levites, they weren't priests by an oath. They were priests by pedigree. They were priests because of the family that they were born into. But this high priest was by an oath, and not by an oath of any, but by an oath of God himself. You remember that? That I introduced that song, and I said that God that's immutable, it can't change. He's faithful. He's the one that made an oath. That oath, once again, Psalm 110, verse number 4. Bible says this. Am I in verse 22? By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. That's a better covenant. That's a better, is everybody all right? A better promise, a better covenant, a better testament, the Bible says. And I could do some teaching on that, but the Bible says that with a testament, the death of the testator is needed. It says that right here in Hebrews, but we're not going to do that tonight. All right. So, or this morning. Verse number 23. But they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Now he's tearing down the Levitical priesthood. And he says, all these guys, there was many priests with them because they all died. Aaron died, the next priest died, the next priest died, and on and on and on and on. There's something different about this one. Is everybody all right? This is a high priest that's unchangeable. He does not die. Now he's died. We know Christ has died for our sins, but we know that he liveth. Right? All right. So he's tearing down their Judaism. He's tearing down their religious system. And he's saying there's something new. And he says this. He says, but this man, because he continueth ever or lives forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. It ain't going to change no more. This is it. It's an unchangeable priesthood. Why? Because he ain't never going to die. He's different from all the others. They all died. He ain't going to die. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Oh, I need somebody to help me. He told them in Acts to go out into the uttermost and bring them in. And he's telling us here in Hebrews that he will save them to the uttermost. He said, go get them from the uttermost and I'll save them to the uttermost. Y'all, I probably won't get this out nowhere like I want to, but it was good for my personal studies. Is everybody all right? Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Not by some program. Not by some little prayer. Is everybody all right? Not by some little want to. or some little 4-step program or 12-step program or anything else, any kind of work that you could put in there, it's not because you come to God by that, but you only by you coming to God by Him. Why? Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for me. I know that ain't what it said, but I like it. I'm gonna take liberty to change this verse just a little bit. Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for me. Now you change that verse or you can keep it the same. It's all right. You want to talk about everybody else? That's fine. But
that's right. Amen.
He ever liveth to make intercession for me. Is everybody all right? For such a high priest became us. Oh, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, verse number 14, became flesh and dwelt among us. Is everybody all right? For this high priest, this guy that changed it all, changed the whole thing up, lives forever. Y'all don't even get this. He became us. He didn't have to, Brother Jeremy. Hey, he left glory. He left the praises of heaven to come down here and be rejected and ridiculed by men. Do you understand that there's angels that constantly fly around the throne crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And He left it all to come here to have somebody wag their head at Him, spit on Him, beat Him so that He could die for you and I. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher, listen, and made higher than the heavens. I'm gonna go say it over here. And made higher than the heavens. In other words, this high priest is over it all. Who needeth not daily, as those other high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once. Why? Because there was no sin in him. The Bible says that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. There was no sin in him. So he did not have to offer a sacrifice for himself. His sacrifice was himself. Man, this is good. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, the word of God, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. You know what that word consecrated means? Complete. I mean, y'all ain't. Complete. You and I have a high priest. Not after the order of the Mosaic law, but after the order of Melchizedek. Before we're ever introduced to a priest, before we ever introduced to a Jewish priest or to a Levite priest, we are introduced in Genesis chapter number 14 to a high priest, a priest of the highest God. Everybody all right? And we're told that this, our high priest, is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. I want to take a look at that just for a few moments this morning, and I'll get you out of here in about 10 minutes. Is everybody all right? I done preached a lot just reading. That's one thing I love about the way I preach the Bible, all right? We read the Word, and all I'm going to do is kind of expound on what we've already read. Is everybody all right? So as we look at this and we look at King Melchizedek and we look at our high priest, Jesus, I want you to notice the order first. I want you to notice order. The order is important because we must understand that the original Levitical priesthood was flawed. The Bible says that we could not be saved through that priesthood. Is everybody with me? And so because it was flawed, he had to come. I think I said order and I meant origin. His origin, all right? I'm sorry if you was writing this. It's Michelle's fault, all right? I don't have my outline with me right now, so we're struggling through this, all right? His origin. He was brought. He is a high priest. Why? Because of the failure of the law. Now, this is something that I struggle with when I teach, because when I come in here and I teach all the law, oftentimes I think, well, we don't have a church full of people that serve under the law or try to go back to the Mosaic law. But the idea and the mentality of the law still exists today. Because what it is in us today is this idea that you and I can do something to get to God. See, the law, that's what the law was. The law, they asked for the law because they wanted a way to get to God. And God gave them not just 10 commandments. God gave them 613 or 635 commandments that they had to keep for in order for them to obtain eternal life. In other words, God set a standard so high that no one could reach it. And through that, God tried to teach us that there was only one way to heaven, and that was through His Son, Jesus Christ, who has now become our high priest. But silly man thinks that we can live right, thinks that we can talk right, thinks that we can act right, thinks that we can do all these things that's going to make God show favor to us. In reality, we're just wretched. We're poor. We're dirty. We're nasty, as Brother Larry would say. We're just old-fashioned sinners. And you can take that old-fashioned all the way back to Genesis, all the way back into the Garden of Eden, when Adam, the first man, had a perfect life, a perfect wife. And he still sinned. That's who we are. That's what we're born with. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all of sin, for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's me. That's you. And to think that you and I could live a list of rules and we could follow this and follow that and find favor with God, we're very mistaken. You've heard me say this before, but Jesus cried out and said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And God didn't offer up any other possibilities. I'm going to go say that over here. Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And the Father did not offer up any other possibilities. There is but one way to heaven. There is but one way that grants access to God. And that is through this high priest. His origin, he had to come because the law was flawed. The law could not save y'all. The law couldn't save us. Our works are not going to save us. Salvation is only through this high priest. So we see the origins of this high priest. Can anybody else not see their Bible? We see the offering. The offering. Are y'all okay? Can we flip over to Hebrews chapter number 9? I won't take you far. Man, let me tell y'all something. If y'all want to read some good stuff, it's all good in Hebrews, man. I love it. Verse number 6 of chapter number 9. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year. That's for some of y'all that think that I lie to you when I say stuff. The Bible says, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure. This is what God's trying to tell us. He's trying to say to that tabernacle, as long as it was standing, Jesus wasn't here. But when Jesus came, he fulfilled everything that that tabernacle was about. By the way, that tabernacle was in heaven. The tabernacle on earth was patterned after the tabernacle in heaven. So as we see the tabernacle on earth and as we read in our Bible the tabernacle, there is one set up in heaven and there is one that's sitting on the throne, on the mercy seat. Is everybody with me? Where am I at? Verse number 8. The Holy Ghost is signifying, I'm in verse number 9, which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Verse number 11 is getting good. But Christ, being come a high priest. There that is again. That we've been talking about that high priest. Now we're talking about the high priest again, but we're going to talk about his gift. Is everybody ready? But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? His offering was himself. I need somebody to help me. There was no greater priest that had ever walked into that tabernacle. And there was no greater offering that had ever been offered in that tabernacle. For the Bible says that when that offering was made, it was finished. When that offering was made, he sat down on the right hand of the Father because it was finished. Said, this one's different. That Levitical priesthood, that Old Testament law, it was different. They had to come daily. They had to come once a year, but they had to come daily and offer offerings not only for the people, but first they had to offer for themselves. But this high priest, he come in, he didn't have to make all them offerings. He just made one. And that was himself, the greatest gift. Oh my goodness. Y'all ain't getting it. Y'all ain't getting it, but you will. I'm about done. Is everybody with me? We've seen his origin. We've seen his offering. Number 3, we're going to see his operation. Let's go back to chapter number 7. Is everybody all right? Miss Carrie, get us in verse number 25 of chapter number 7. So we're going back to chapter number 7. We got his origin. Why did he come? Because the law was imperfect. Why did he come? Because man's still trying to get to heaven by themselves. They still trying to figure it out. Still trying to go to church and do all these rules. But his offering was the greatest offering could be made. He offered himself without spot. Now his operation. Wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost. Y'all may not know this, but Jesus is still saving you and I right now. I mean, y'all got to help me right here. He's still saving you and I. Now, that doesn't mean you and I have to do anything. He's the high priest. Oh, y'all got to help me now. He's a high priest, and so therefore, he's able. I'm going to go over here and say it over here. He is able. Listen here. Hey, if it was up to us, y'all, this is getting good. Don't miss this. If it was up to us and if it was up to me to get saved, then that means every single time I have sinned since my salvation, I'd lose it. Now, I need somebody to help me right there. I'd be getting saved a lot. I mean, like, a lot. I need somebody to help. A lot. I talked to a man one time. He believed he could lose his salvation if he's, you know, and I asked him, I worked with him. We worked for an electrical company, and he was up on top of a scaffolding, and I was talking to him, and I said, hey, well, I ain't going to say all that. I better not. But anyhow, I said to him, man, you can't die. Once Jesus saves you, you save forever. He said, no, that ain't what I believe. He said, if you sin, you lose it. I said, so you tell me, if you fall, and on the way down, in your fear, you blurt out a cuss word, you telling me you're going to go to hell? He said, yes. So I grabbed it and shook it real bad. Is everybody all right? He cussed. Everybody okay? The point I'm making is this. If I had to live like that, what? Is everybody all right? What kind of comfort is that? What kind of salvation is that? The Bible says, wherefore, he is able to save me to the uttermost. That means as far as I can go. He's able to keep me even though I sin. Even though I still ain't perfect. I'm close. Ask my wife. But she just cussed. He's able to save me to the uttermost. Why? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For me. That means I need somebody to help me right here. That means when I mess up, he makes intercession for me. Why? Because he is able to save me to the uttermost. And to save me to the other, he can't take me in there with sin, Jesse. And so you and I have a high priest that's making intercession for us. And when you and I sin, we have an advocate with the Father. You and I can come and experience the forgiveness of sins after we're saved. Thank God. Man, we live life like God's a dictator and he's going to just squash us if we sin. But what you don't realize is God is fighting for you in your sin. He's making intercession for you with the Father. Boy, man, I'm telling you what. That helped me. That don't give me a reason to go sin, and I ain't running out there trying to sin to make him have it to work. But y'all got to hear me. I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't say it good enough. Y'all got to hear me right here. God is working for me. Do you get that? God is working on my behalf. He's interceding for me. He's my defense. He's not against me. He's for me. He's not, oh, I need somebody to help. When I fall down and confess, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because he's interceding for us. That's how our high priest works. See, to do away with all that and say that ain't important because that's in the Old Testament, you miss out on some of the greatest blessings. You and I have a high priest that is going before God every single day on our behalf, making intercession for us for our sin. He's making intercession for us for our salvation to save us to the uttermost. But I'd like to go ahead and put this out there too. He's making intercession for us for those things that we don't know how to ask for. Those needs that we have that we can't communicate. These people that are around the altar crying and needing comfort from God. The God of all comfort is making intercession for you and I. He's for us this morning. Last, and I'm done. We see his offering. We see, what was the first one? His origin, his offering. We see his operation. Is that what I said? The last one. We see his office. Now listen, y'all got to hear me. We've gone over, and I'm not going to go over this anymore, but there was two offices after the order of Melchizedek. He was a high priest, and he was king. Now, I'm not going to go over to high priest because I hope I've done enough. But our high priest holds another office. For those of us that are saved, I need somebody. For those of us that are saved, he is to be king. Is everybody all right? It's fixing to get better. Because the Bible says that he is the king of righteousness and the king of peace. Did y'all catch the order? Righteousness and the king of peace. When we dealt with Melchizedek, he was the king of righteousness and the king of peace. See, he has to be king in righteousness before there's any peace. We got this thing backwards, and so many people are seeking after peace without righteousness. We want peace and then we get right. We go, God, if you'll give me peace, I'll get the righteousness. But that's not how it's set up. That's not the order of Melchizedek. It was righteousness, and from our righteousness comes peace. I ain't perfect. I ain't perfect, and I don't believe God expects you and I to be perfect. I believe he wants us to be perfect, but I think he don't expect it. But we're to strive for righteousness, and if we strive for righteousness, we'll have peace. A lot of people looking for peace, but they got the order backwards. Got the order backwards. We're trying to find peace and we'll get right. And God says, get right and you'll have peace. Some Christians need to get around. Listen to me. We need to get around the altar. We need to thank God we're saved. We need to thank God that he's able to save us to the uttermost. Not from the uttermost, which he saved a lot of us from the uttermost and from the guttermost, but I need somebody to help me. He saves us to the uttermost. Need to thank God he intercedes for us. A high priest has been through what I've been through. He's lived this life and he did it without sin. He was tempted. And yet he overcame. I need somebody to help me. Bible says in all points he was tempted like us, and yet he overcame all of that. And therefore he is able. Who better to be our high priest? He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're facing. He knows how to get you through it. But too many of us won't let him be king. And we try our best to be king and to rule our life, and all we do is get ourselves in more mess. So some Christians need to come around the altar and lay down that crown. Go ahead. Is everybody with me? Let's go ahead and let's get used to laying down crowns now. That way when we get there and we got all them crowns to give back to him, we won't look out of place. How many of you, Dalton, come to the piano for me. Somebody come to the piano for me. I'm thankful for that high priest who intercedes for me, who saves me to the uttermost. He is able, the Bible says, because he constantly intercedes for me. No greater high priest, no greater gift. He wants to be king of your life. Bow your heads with me this morning. Pray in your seats. Come to the altar. Whatever you feel comfortable doing. I hesitate every time I get around preaching on the law because I feel like people just shut it off because we're not in the Mosaic law. But the mindset of the law still curses men. There's still this ideology that we can do something to merit God's love and favor. As we sang, it's grace. Undeserved, unmerited. There's nothing you could do to obtain salvation. It's only by Him. This morning, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to be honest with me. Are you ready to stand before God and give an account for your life? If you were to die sitting in the chair you're sitting in, do you know you'd spend eternity in heaven? How would you answer God if He said, "Why should I let you in?" With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity. I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven." If that's you, I want you to do me a favor. Just raise your hand up. You ain't even got to put it all the way up. Just enough that I can see it. Thank you. You can put that down. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you. You can put that hand down. Anybody else? Thank you. You can put that hand down. Is anybody else? So be honest with me. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I just want to know how to end the service. I want you to be honest with me, honest with God. Is there anybody else? Say, "Preacher, I'm not sure." Just slip your hand up. I'll not come to you, not send anybody to you. Not going to embarrass you. I see it. You can put it down. Thank you. I'm going to need some ladies to get ready. Get your Bibles, if you will. There's been four or five that's raised their hands up this morning. We've still got our heads bowed because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I'm standing down front. I've come down off the platform. I'm standing down front in the middle. And I'm begging you this morning to get this thing settled. My wife has got a Bible. Several of the other ladies has got a Bible. If you'll let us this morning, if you'll let me this morning, I want to make sure when you walk out of here that you have this high priest that intercedes for you every day. If you'll come this morning, I want you to get up out of your seat. Come right to where I'm at. I'll meet you halfway if you'll start. Hallelujah. Shell, come help me, baby. There was others. Who else would come? Who else? Now, you said you needed it. This is your choice. It's your decision. Nobody's going to force you. Will you come this morning? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, God, I want to thank You for this morning. Thank You for our choir. Thank You for, Lord, the services. Been a blessing to me and an encouragement to me all day. Lord, I'm thankful for my high priest. Unchangeable, ever living. To make intercession for me. God, I'm sorry where I failed You, where others have failed You. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for Your intercession. Your love for me. Your grace. Thankful that You're able to save to the uttermost. God, I pray that every day, Lord, I take my crown off and allow You to be King of my life. God, I pray to get better at submitting to you. Lord, I pray this morning that it helped this congregation. Pray that we were exhorted to know that you're working behind the scenes for us throughout eternity for us. That your priesthood never changes because you ever liveth. God, I pray that it also challenged us to put down our crown and, Lord, allow you to be king in our life, to dictate our moves, to lead us in the path that you would have us. God, I thank you for those that have come forward. Lord, I pray for those that haven't. Lord, as they leave out of here this morning, Lord, I pray that your grace will follow them. Lord, I pray that your grace will chase them. Lord, I pray that they'll come to a saving knowledge of you before it's too late. God, may they not trust in their own